me that spontaneous prophetic utterance tonight, and please put this message together in a way that will help everybody, will benefit them, will edify them, Father. Please, all your heart, let me express your heart, your words and your thoughts, please. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Okay, the main verse for this quick message, I guess, is going to be Jude 21, one of my favorite verses. And if you get a chance, you can just turn there, but it's only a quick verse. But it says, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. So, Father, thank you for your word, and please bless this message. I guess that this message was kind of, and I just want to talk about God's faithfulness. Like I say, I'm going all over the place here, but I want to talk about his faithfulness tonight, just to start, and then we'll get into the message about the love. But sometimes even when we don't know how to work, most of the time, when we don't know how to work things, God always does. He always does. Patrick and I have been reading The Normal Christian Life by Watchman Nee. We have a tendency to, over the phone, just to read chapters together, and we go through it. And we've been, I think we're up to like chapter 12 or something like that. And I got this feeling like I should make a call. There was a lady that used to go to this church, and she can't get out anymore. And so I go up there to call her. I felt prompted to call her, but she didn't seem like she was in the middle of something, so she didn't really have a chance to talk. But I noticed that lying right there was that book, The Normal Christian Life. And so I said, I got that feeling like I should keep reading. So I kept reading, and I kept reading, and I kept reading it, and I found that it was speaking to me in this unbelievable way. It's like, wow, this is really fantastic. And like, I thought I was going up there to make a call, but God really wanted me just to go up there and read that book and get edified in a way that it was really, really necessary for me. And it was funny, too, because I must have missed something, because that night, Patrick, you know, I didn't tell Patrick I'd read the rest of this book, and that night, which is last night, Patrick calls me up and says, hey, Mark, you got to go to page 241. I got really something I was been meditating on this morning. And it was like God said, okay, you got a few points, Mark, but you missed something that I need you to see. And I think God said, okay, Patrick, you got to give Mark a call. He missed something. And he gave me a call last night. And he really opened my eyes to something that was really important, because I was struggling with something. I was trying to figure out something in my life. I had this stronghold in my life, and I just could not figure out how do I fix it? How do I go about it? How do I do it? And it was like this fight in me, and I just could not get the victory. So Patrick says, let's read this chapter. And it was the verse, Psalm 36, verse 9. It says, for with thee is the fountain of life. In thy light shall we see light. And Patrick was saying to me, and now can I say just something? Maybe CDTA doesn't want this man, but he is one amazing brother. I mean, if they decide to give him up, you know, I'll take him. Really. He is one, and I know he's probably blushing because he doesn't like to be. He has been such an amazing brother to me. So I just want to thank you, Patrick, for being such an amazing brother. CDTA doesn't know what the heck they're talking about, so I know that. Anyway, it says, in thy light... I'm sorry to embarrass you, Patrick, but I'm sorry. I love you. You're an amazing brother. He's been an amazing brother to me. He's helped me so much. And it says, in thy light shall we see light. And it says, when God shines the light on it, then we can see the problem. Light, you know, light dispels the darkness. And it was like I was in this darkness. I could not figure out how to work this. And that light, he let me know it's light. So I just prayed. I said, Father... And there's this other verse in Psalm 139, verse 23 and 24. It says, search me, O God, and know my heart. try me and know my thoughts and see if there be any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. So he's saying, when you've got problems, you can't try to figure this out yourself. I mean, we all know, you know, Jeremiah 17:9, our heart is deceitful above all else, exceedingly wicked. Who can know it? You know, we can try and look and look and look all our days, and we're so deceitful we can never even know it. At best, we can scratch the surface, and the surface is never gonna tell us anything. And like I said, and I got this flash. It's like, okay, I prayed, Father, just shine the light in my heart, shine the light on my thoughts. You tell me what's wrong. I can't figure it out. And there's so many verses in the Bible that say that. I mean, Psalm 138:8, it says, the Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Now, Pastor Scott was bringing out 1 Thessalonians 5:24 this week about, he who has called you is faithful, and he will do it. Philippians 1:6. And I forgot what Philippians 1:6 says. Oh, be confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will finish it. Hebrews 12:2. He is the author and finisher of our faith, not us. So I just started, and I prayed, and I prayed, and I just said, light, Lord, shine the light on me. Shine the light. You know what's in my heart. And I got this flash, and it was like this amazing thing. And that's all it took. And I became that man. You know, we talk about understanding. You know, we know that first there's knowledge, you know, and then there's wisdom, which is the application of that knowledge. And then there's understanding. It's like when we get, wow, there's that flash. Like, yeah, I understand it. If I do this or I do that, then God will do this and do that, and if I just follow his way, then I get the understanding, then I know how to do it. And it was, and that stronghold is began to get broken in me. And I love Proverbs 17:27. It says, a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. You know, Proverbs 4:7 says, wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. And what I began to understand this morning, more than I maybe had ever understood before, was that verse, Jude 21. Keep yourself in the love of God, looking for the mercy. And I just had this sensation of the love of God start to come over me. And everything just started to get in its proper place. And it was the most amazing thing. Your attitudes become right, your motives become right when you start to think with God and you start to get his love. And that flash hit me. And there's so many verses about keeping yourself in the love of God. I remember reading Brother Lawrence in his book about practicing the presence of God. And he said, being in the presence of God, being in his pure love, is the best cure for sin on this planet. Because when you're in his presence, you're in the presence of pure love and pure holiness. And sin becomes repulsive to you. And you have a love now for righteousness. You have a love for the lost. And I started to think about Galatians 5:22, you know, where it says that the fruit of the Spirit is love. And Pastor Stevens always taught about this, that word love is singular. You know, we know that it says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. But the word love is singular. And those other ones that follow it, the you know, it says the fruit of the Spirit is love, and the components, and what he was saying is the components of love are peace, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Those all things combine to make up love. And I thought if we have love, and we have joy, and we have peace, and we have long suffering with people, and we are gentle, and we are good, and we have faith, and we have self-control, that kind of puts everything in order. And all we have to do is keep ourselves in that love. And I also went to 1 Corinthians 13, that famous love chapter. And what does it say? It says, love suffers long. We have that makrothumia with people. We have that long-suffering patience with people. Love is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not exalt itself. Love is not puffed up. Love does not act unseemly. Love is not self-seeking. Love is not easily provoked. Love thinks no evil. Love rejoices in truth. Love believes the best, hopes for the best, and love never fails. And why, and you know, I hate to get political, but I love getting political, actually. There's a lot of stuff out there in the world today where there's no love. I'll bring up one. Well, there's one lady on the show called The View. Please, hang on here, because I just opened the can. Okay. Bob isn't back there recording this, is he? If he is, I'll tell him to shut it off just for 5 minutes. She made some very, very disparaging comments about Vice President Pence. When he was making that comment, like he would hear from God and he would talk, and you know, I didn't hear exactly what she said. I kind of got a secondhand from my dad. And, you know, she, after all this back and forth, I guess she got enough people getting on her case that she finally apologized on air. And I don't know if, you know, it was genuine or whether she really, but, you know, can I just say one thing about this out here? You know, when Matt was singing, I cannot begin to tell you the mercy that you've had. I mean, that line out of that song, if anybody wants to know about God's mercy, come see me afterward, because God has been so outrageously merciful to me. So when I see somebody like Joy, well, oh, there it goes. All right, I let the cat out of the bag. Sorry. When I see somebody like her, can I just tell you something? I used to be like that. I mean, when I used to go jogging, if I saw two people coming down the street that even looked like Christians, it was like, boom, run to that side street. I don't want to talk to these people. They're going to hurt me. They're going to kill me. They're going to do this. I was so afraid of anybody that just even seemed like that. Why? Because I just felt so condemned. I felt so guilty. I didn't want them to shine that light, in a sense, on me. And I was like, bolt down the side street, get away from these people. And I say that because I know, you know, one of the, Teresa sent me a really beautiful email out of a pastor that she knows in Rochester. I think it's Rochester, Syracuse maybe. And I combine that with what Pastor Stephen said in that book, Just Let God Love You. And the thing that Pastor Stephen said in that book, Just Let God Love You, says the first need that every human being on this planet has is to be loved by God. And the second need that every person has on this planet is to be loved by God. And the third greatest need on every person on this planet is to be loved by God. And then he says, are you getting my point? And the thing that, the email that Teresa sent me really, really opened my eyes, because I'd read that before. And what this pastor said out there, he said our primary need, his take on it was, our primary need was to love God. Our need is to love God more than anything else as well. And when Matt was singing about that song about he brings our chaos back into order, that's exactly what happened. When we're loving God, when we're being loved by God, our chaos is brought into order. Because we take on all the qualities of God. We take on his mind. We take on his heart. We take on his words. Everything's brought back into order just by that simple. That's why God said, I think it was in, was it Mark 12? You know, when they asked him, what are the most important things when they asked the Lord that? And he said, hear ye, O Israel, the word of the Lord, our God is one. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love thy neighbor as thyself. He gave those commandments because he knew that was the most critical thing that we could ever do, is to love God with all of our heart and have him love us with all of his heart. And that sets everything in order. The chaos becomes into order. And I say this about, you know, joy there, because I remember hearing one time about these actors out in Hollywood, and there was one of these agents that said, oh, my clients really don't have anything to do with this Christianity stuff. They don't really like it. They poo-poo it, blah, 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 blah. And I was thinking, you know, about the love of God. I mean, just this principle that everybody desires to be loved by God. And I remember hearing that still small voice saying to me, don't you think they want to know the love of God too? You know, so when I see, you know, this lady making some negative remarks about Vice President Pence, it's because she is so wounded on the inside, just like I was. And when you get wounded, and her take on Christianity is that they're just going to hurt me, when you know how it is. It's like that wounded bear syndrome that I talked about. If you get a bear with his claw caught in a trap, you try to go up to him and say, oh, Mr. Nice Little Bear, here, let me help you. He's going to go, he's going to try to rip your face off because he's in such pain. So when we see people like that out there making these kind of comments, many times it's because they're just in so much pain and they're just striking out because they want to know the love of God too. I remember when I used to see Christians in a church and they would be raising their hands like this in worship, like my buddy Patrick here, and you'd see people with tears running down their face. I wanted that. I wanted that so bad, but I couldn't have it. And it makes you angry when you can't have that. And it makes you frustrated. And when people come up to you and, you know, or you hear anything that even starts to, and believe me, you know, we know that in the last days, perilous times will come. Satan is working overtime on condemnation these days. I mean, he is just hammering people these days. And, you know, and that word, you know, perilous times, it's the same word. It's like fiercely demonic. It's the same word that was used to describe the Gadarene demoniacs. It's a fiercely demonic attack on us, and Satan is just hammering people. And if they don't have the love of God, they are hurting, and when they hurt, they strike out. So when I see somebody like this lady or anybody else out there, I mean, anybody that you meet on the street, I mean, I remember we were over in Troy one time, and this lady was a, she told us she was a practicing witch or something like that. And when we told her who we were, she says, well, I'm a practicing witch, so, and I know you don't want to talk to me, she says. Because, you know, that was her take. Like, well, why would a Christian want to be somebody who's practicing witchcraft? But she's exactly the kind of person that we wanted to talk to, isn't it? I mean, to know the love. And there was this other man when Pastor Moore and I were out in Saratoga last year. There was this man with tattoos all over the place, and I guess he used to be a biker. I don't know if Pastor Moore knew him before that or anything like that. And I went up and trying to be friendly to him. I asked him, well, what's your name? You know, my name's Mark. Who are you? And he said, Five. And I said that, you know, I didn't say this, but I thought, that's his name, Five? And I said, well, if he was a Christian, I'd say, that's great. That's a number for grace. You're a grace man. All right. But that's not what he meant. I don't even know what he meant, to be honest. Maybe Pastor Moore could tell us sometime. But that was his identity, Five. Wow. And I said, you know, I started to try to express love to this man. And he says, he was almost like, you're just going to hurt me. I don't want to talk to you, you're just going to hurt me. And like I say, I know that's, I felt that way. I felt that way. Like if I had a Christian come up to me, all they would do is hurt me. They'd bring out my sin. They'd condemn me. And it happens. I mean, you can see it on TV. I mean, these people that are Christians, and I know I shouldn't say that because they're my brothers, but sometimes they just don't have that compassion. Maybe because they've never been hurt like I have, so, you know. So I just want to encourage you, when you see people out there that are bad-mouthing people, you know, understand that many times it's because they just have some very, very deep pains inside, and they just have not been touched by God's love. And why do we want it? And, you know, this was brought out in this book, The Normal Christian Life, that Patrick and I were reading. Why do we want to have the love of God? It's not only for ourselves, but like what he was bringing out, it's because when we have that love of God all over us, we become the scent of Christ. We become an aroma. That's one thing that the Bible mentions in, I don't know if I have the verses here or not. Maybe I do. But anyway, we become an aroma. You know, there's that verse in Psalm 23, verse 6, I think it says that, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And I always, you know, we always kind of know that, well, no, that's God's mercy following us all the days of my life. But I also kind of heard somebody say one time that I thought was so neat, that like that goodness and mercy following behind us is like a wake. And it's like, you know, like a boat goes through the water and there's a wake left behind it. When we have God's love, that's what follows us. We have this trail of goodness and mercy that follows us. It's like almost like if I want to find Pastor Chris, let's find it. Let's look for this trail of goodness and mercy. And when we get to the end of that trail, we'll find Pastor Chris or Matt or any 2 Corinthians 2:15. I know that verse. I've got it here. Okay, for we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ. And we can be a sweet savor to other people out there because you think of a, thank you, Pastor, I appreciate that. And there's also Ephesians 5:2. It says, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. It's like when you walk into this building on potluck Sunday, the first thing you get hit with is, wow, that smells good. That's what we can be to people out there when we have the love of God all over us. We can have people kind of smell us, so to speak, in a good way, and just say, wow, that smells good. That's attractive. That leads me. It's like when you walk in here on the potluck Sunday, the first place you tend to go to is into the kitchen. Because it just smells so good, you want to see what's brewing. And we can be that way to other people out there. We can be that drawing aroma to people and say, what's brewing in them? And then we can tell them. And it's that love that's going to change them. And, you know, we're designed to run on Jesus. We're not designed to run in his absence. It's like if that old thing about, you know, pouring diesel fuel into a regular combustion engine, it's just, it may run okay. I don't know if it does. Nope. Fred says nope. Okay. Thank you, Fred. I don't know. But, you know, it's...
That's how I met Larry.
Oh, that's how you met Larry. Okay, so I just found out it doesn't work well, and that's what's happening out there. You know, people are trying to run on fuel that's not designed for them. But when you get the love of God in you, we run on Christ, and then things start to run beautifully for us. Like I said, yeah. Uh-oh, I set you up, Pastor Larry. Sorry about that. Yeah. Right. So anyway, like I say, so let's just So, and you know, at the end, I just want to say one thing very quickly. In the second part of Jude 21, it says, you know, looking for the mercy of our God unto life eternal. That word looking is pros, P-R-O-S in the Greek. And it's the same word that's used in John 1:1, where it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. That word with is the same word. And it means facing. It means toward. And it basically means like with your hand out. And it's like what Jesus wants more than anything else is for us to be facing him in that loving relationship, just like any man or wife or whatever, in a face-to-face, in a loving relationship with your hand out, receiving that mercy, receiving that love, just like I would just be standing here right now in front of you, you know, in front of Teresa, with my hand out and just saying, feed me, Lord. Just let him feed you. And as he feeds us, and I told Patrick this when we were driving home from a Bible study one time, I told the Lord one time, you know, because I love to be up here pouring out to all of you. I love that. And I told that to the Lord one time. I said, you know, Lord, I love being up here. Thank you for your mercy to be able to come up here and share with people. I love pouring you out. And he said to me, I know, Mark. I designed you for this. I made you for this. We are all made, like I say, to run on Jesus and to pour him out to the world. So like I say, just face Jesus with your hand out. Just receiving that love, just taking and taking and taking. And when you get so filled up with it, you can't help but overflow with it, and then it gets poured out to the world. And that's what's going to change. Amen? Amen. Father, please, thank you. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your love. Just seal these words in our hearts, Father, and help us be those empty vessels that you can just fill with your love and pour out to others to save that lost and dying world out there. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Bible, but all you have to do is reach out to him and say, Jesus, save me. I believe you're the Son of God. I want to know your love. I want to know the peace and the joy that comes with knowing you. So just save me. Make me a child of God. Give me that everlasting life. And he will. He'll hear your cry. He'll come into your life with his Holy Spirit and save you. And you can have that wonderful relationship, being face to face with a loving, beautiful, gracious God. And if you make that decision, just please call the number that's on the screen there. And we'll be happy to get back to you. Thank you. Amen.